That we are doing this fall on the Beatitudes. And so today we come to the next one. And so our reading comes from both Matthew 4 and 5, which is the body of the Beatitudes, as well as a parable in Luke 18 that has to do with today's Beatitudes. So I'm grateful for Louise, who's reading scripture for us today. So I invite you to listen for the word of God.
Then Jesus told the disciples and others who were gathered there a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city, there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?'" And from Matthew, "Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all the sick, those who were afflicted with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, and paralytics, and he cured them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountains, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Big thank you to Louise for helping this morning. It is some scripture maybe you've heard a lot, and maybe you've never heard. It is scripture that whether you've heard it a lot or not, maybe you've never heard before, if that makes sense. And maybe it will make sense as we talk. The scripture talks about our beatitude today is, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Jesus doesn't say you will have righteousness. He says you will be filled. What's tricky, and oftentimes we don't know unless you learn Greek, which is why in our tradition we want our pastors to do that, is that the word for righteousness is this word that doesn't really matter up on the top, diakosune, but it also means justice. It actually means the same thing, both righteousness and justice. In the French language, as I lived in France for a long time and went to seminary there, there is no word for righteousness. The word does not exist in the whole language. It is just justice. And so righteousness is a word that we have in English that other languages don't necessarily have. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think of righteousness, these days I usually think of someone who is self-righteous. That's how the word is most used in our culture. But righteous tends to be about a person or private piety, about an individual. Whereas justice, for me, often has to do with a larger group, a community, or the world, or the nation. It is about being right with everybody, not just being right alone. I don't know, maybe, I don't think I'm the only one who thinks that. But that's kind of how our language has come to evolve in English, righteousness and justice. And so it's quite a challenge to hear the scripture and to think about it and those notions. It's not just blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, but blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice. It's not just about your own life. It's equally about the lives of other people. Does that kind of make sense? Am I the only one who thought that? You're making me feel good. Thanks, Bruta. Thanks, Elaine. All right. So if you look at it, so I always try to translate the Beatitude each week into more common language. But in the end, what Jesus is saying is, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice, is that it is like living. You hunger and thirst every day, whether you want to or not. It's just part of life. You have to eat. You have to drink. It's a matter of life and death. And so our hunger and our thirst for God's righteousness, for God's justice, isn't something special we do. It's how we live. It's a matter of life and death. It's if we are alive, that's how we are living, hungering and thirsting for justice for ourselves, for our neighbors, for God, with God, and for all of creation. Now, that's a little bit different than just thinking about someone who really is desperate and doing some extreme thing for righteousness. It is a daily activity. It is part of life. It's not special, and yet it is. It's not something that we have to try extra hard to do. It's just like hungering for food and thirsting for water. We wake up with it every day that we wake up. Different way of looking at it. Now, justice is maybe problematic, and you might not like it, because justice is a loaded word, in particular in America. Right now. Now, if you go to a courthouse, and I looked at our courthouses in Oakland, we don't have this statue, but most courthouses around our country will have a statue that looks like this, Lady Justice. Have you ever seen this statue before? It's associated with law and order and justice. And it is actually the Greek goddess Themis, who for the Romans was called Justitia or Justitia. And she always has a sword and she always has scales with which to weigh out justice. It's a common thing. She's often blind, but actually she's not blind originally. So if you look at this statue, here she is. She is not blind. We talk about Lady Justice. And Lady Justice actually comes to us from the Greek and the Romans, but even farther back, it comes to us from the Egyptians, which predate a lot of the Bible. And in Egyptian mythology, justice came from Maat, which is this goddess. And she always has a feather in her hair, and she actually has the scales. Now, if you know anything about Egyptian mythology, when you died and you went to the afterlife, you had to weigh your heart. So you would take out your heart, and they would put it on a scale. And if your heart was lighter than a feather, you got to go to the good place. If your heart was heavier than a feather, then you went to the bad place. And so this notion of the scales became associated with justice. Maat actually means justice, and it's not just a judgment of justice, but she was the justice with which all of the universe had been created in Egyptian mythology. Now, I tell you all that not to try to convert you to Egyptianists, but rather to tell you that that thought is also present in ancient Jewish thought. The universe was created with God's justice, God's righteousness. And so to be just or to be righteous was to be at peace or to be at one with God, to be at one with the way the world was made, to be at one with the way in which we are created to treat one another. So not that different than Maat, who became Themis and Justitia, and eventually our Supreme Court. Now, somehow or another, along the lines, in the Middle Ages and the Renaissance, and in particular in our country, justice became a blind lady. Now, why is justice blind? Can you tell me why justice is blind in our country? Impartiality. So justice is always objective and impartial. How many of you believe that today? That's partly why this beatitude is so loaded. Because justice and righteousness, already it's hard for us to fathom that it's the same word. It's interesting to look at it throughout history. Is it something you learn in a book or from the law that's written down? Or is justice just something that God created the universe with, that we need to tap into or get aligned with? And when you look at our country today, I think that justice is probably, in particular in the last 2 to 3 weeks, one of the big things upon which we do not agree, and around which we probably would disagree on, is it impartial or is it subjective? I'm probably not telling you anything you don't know, but it's interesting that the Holy Spirit really has something to tell us, I think, today. When we talk about justice, blessed are those who are hungry and thirsty for justice, for God will fill them. It's a tricky thing. Justice. So that brings us to the parable today. If you heard that parable, that's why I brought that in, to try to elucidate the beatitude. And the parable is about this woman who's either persistent or angry. In fact, we have trouble with angry women. In particular, black women who are angry tend to have be perceived a particular way in our culture and society. They're seen as very threatening, more so than a woman of a different racial background. It's a stereotype, but it exists in our culture. Someone who is persistent is seen as tough and convinced. Someone who is angry and who fights and will not shut up about what they want or need is seen in slightly more of a negative tone in general in our society. And so we hear this story. This woman comes to the judge and she wants justice. She wants to be defended. She wants what she deserves according to the law. And the judge will not pay attention to her. And so she keeps yelling and shouting and speaking up and speaking out. And eventually she wears him down. Now, it's not really a remarkable story, is it? Eventually you're going to wear people down. Jesus tells the story to say, if the judge gives justice to the woman for whom he does not care, and if you read the story, it says the judge doesn't really care about God. If the judge gives justice to the woman, how much more will God give you justice when God loves you? What we often don't know about the story is that judges were the priests. And so she is not going to a member of the Supreme Court or to the court of Alameda County or the Ninth Circuit. She's going to the religious leader of her community who is responsible for interpreting the law. Throughout the Old Testament, it talks about orphans and refugees and widows as those who most need justice, the justice from God. So the woman is angry because the people who speak for God are not speaking for God. Changes a little bit. It's not just that this woman has a little bee in her bonnet or that she's difficult. She is demanding what God says is right. So is she angry or is she persistent? What kind of justice is it that you must shout for? So as I thought about that story, then I was thinking about our history right now, and you may disagree with me, and that's okay, but some cheap or maybe deep parallels between the story and our life today include the persistent angry woman in the elevator with Senator Flake, or the persistent angry woman we have seen marching or in places of work, or persistent angry women and men invoking some of the different movements happening in our country, in particular Black Lives Matter. That's what I thought of. Then I thought of also some of the pictures and stories around refugees and immigrants. And it made me think about that story a little bit more. What does that mean? Jesus is telling this parable about a woman who has no one else to stand for her. And the people who are supposed to stand up for her to provide for her according to the law of God, only do it because she wears them down. I found myself thinking about myself. How do I pay justice and righteousness forward to myself, to other people, to God? For what Jesus says is that this is part of everyday life. It's nothing special. It's part of our vocation. And that somehow or another, justice for me is tied with justice for Gloria, is tied with justice for Annette, is tied with justice for all the world. That God works in that way, and that as I pursue justice and you pursue justice, that we become whole, that we become filled, that we experience the heart and the passion and the purpose of God. It's not just about politics. In fact, it's not about politics at all. It's about God's heart. So that brings me back to the Beatitude, thinking about that, is that if we do those things, it's not just paid protesters, as some people say, the women in the elevator were paid to do that, or other people who are dropped off or recruited. What Jesus is saying is it is your responsibility. It is your life vocation to live and work and stand for justice and righteousness for yourself, for other people, with God, and for all the world. Now, that brings me to my third idea as I was thinking about this, is that oftentimes justice is associated with the Justice League. Now, I'm a big superhero fan. But when you Google justice, if you do that and you go home and do that, first you're going to come up with a brand of clothing for teenage girls. And then you're going to probably see Tamis or Justicia, the woman. And then you're going to see lots of pictures of Superman and Wonder Woman in their Justice League. And the great thing about Justice League, I remember watching them all the time as a kid, was they could do it. They could right every wrong. And so when you needed help, you just called them. I need justice. I'm going to call them. But what Jesus says is, you don't need a superhero. You don't need to call anyone else. You do it. If you look at the scripture, Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice and righteousness, for they shall be filled. He doesn't say it to Wonder Woman and Batman. In the scripture, he says it to the crowds. I'll tell you who was in the crowd. The sick, those afflicted with diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, and paralytics. It's the people who don't have any special skills, or who don't think they do. That's the people who have been seen as has-beens or unimportant or less than strong. They are the ones to whom Jesus says, you can do it. Get up. Let's do it. Seek the justice of God like you seek bread and water, like you hunger and thirst. For it is a matter of life and death. Your life, our life, the world's life, the life that God wants for you. And when you do that, not if, but when you do that, you will be filled. God will make you whole. It is a daily part of life, part of who we are. It is not about politics, but about loving and treating and speaking in the way in which God has created the universe and shown us what love is like by coming in the person of Jesus Christ to live and die for us, to show us life. It is the way in which we discover and become all of who God made us to be. So I think about that right now. I think about that as we talk about women yelling at a senator in an elevator, changes his mind. I think about that as I have seen all of the people visiting our house in District 6 to try to get us to vote for them for the city council. I think about that when I think about our Oakland Unified School District that is, I don't know how many millions of dollars and debt. I think about that when I remember a friend in Washington who shared with our family this week that their school district is broke, and so they are cutting the school week from 5 days to 4 days a week to save money. I think about all those things. The Me Too movement, many stories of sexual harassment and assault that I've heard from you that exist in our community. Untold stories of injustice and hunger for justice. And I'm struck that God calls us not to do something spectacular, but to show up every day and to fight for justice, to live for justice like we drink and eat every day. And that we should do that not to win, not to wipe out or vanquish or to be justified or because we're right, but that we should live that way because in living that way, we become who God made us to be. We're going to continue our worship this morning by singing the summons as our response. As we've been doing throughout the Beatitude series, we've switched the liturgy around so that the sermon is really just an exposition of the scripture. And the prayers and the songs we have are an avenue for you to respond, for you to listen, for how the Holy Spirit might be calling you to act, to speak, to become. So as we sing this song that comes to us from the Iona community, one that I know many of you like, let us sing it remembering and rediscovering what God's justice means, what summons God has for us in our lives today. So let us stand as we are able as we sing together.